Welcome to Equippers Church Dunedin. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Helen Monk. For more information, check out equipperschurch.com.
Wonderful to be here. Thank you. Just what I need. Okay. You may take your seat. So Bruce and I feel incredibly blessed to be here and to see all you wonderful people in Dunedin. So tonight I'm going to preach a word of faith, which, you know, faith is our natural breathing air. And I just felt like the Holy Spirit landed on a song we sang morning and night. And it was about anoint your church with oil. And I believe there's going to be an anointing tonight, and we'll open the altar call, because I believe there's cultivated hearts. People have made room for the Holy Spirit in this place. And I believe God's going to dig even deeper channels so a greater anointing will flow. That this is a church of oil. And Bruce prophesied this morning, it's not by might, not by power, but by God's Holy Spirit. And God wants to outpour His Holy Spirit on each and every one of us if we're going to respond to Him. So anoint your church with oil. Just close your eyes right now. That's you. We're the church. Father, I just pray, Father, for the anointing of your Holy Spirit. Father, for the oil of your anointing. Oil flows. Lord God, oil just softens the ground. Oil just causes healing, Lord God, and brings a richness. So, Father, I pray for each and every person that there'll be a new hearing by the Spirit of God, that people will receive what they need. Father, we're deeper channels need to be dug out. Father, we pray for the grace of God to help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Did you receive that? So the title of my sermon, excuse me, is It Is Well. You've probably heard that before. And then we can flip it and say, is it well with your soul? Now, Bruce and I, it's well with our soul. We get to travel the South Island and we've fallen in love with the South Island. I think it eclipses the North in many areas, in beauty and cleanliness. It's amazing. So we're having a time of refreshing, a time of spending time together, enjoying God and enjoying creation, and then getting to see you lovely guys here. And I want to testify about how much I love the grace of God. The grace of God is like oil. For me, it brings a flow into my life. When I get all awkward and stumbly, the grace of God comes and brings a flow. It just simply works. Life works better with the grace of God. And if we need to make a switch tonight, we're going to make a switch and say, I'm giving up my own effort and I'm plugging into the grace of God, the flow from above. And I love it that God speaks to me. You know, He speaks incredibly personally when we seek Him. He brings answers to our questions. And we watched a crazy movie the other night. It was a dumb movie, but you always get something out of something. And the phrase was, if you sit in the question, the answer will find you. And like, if we sit in the question, bring our thoughts in line with God, God will always bring an answer. And that's my testimony. I love the whispers of heaven. So I'm going to testify. Tonight's going to be a bit about stories. It's going to be a bit about testimonies. And so almost 2 years ago, Pastor Sam, our son, came to me in Auckland Church and said, Mum, would you take over the children's church again? And I'd been there, built it up. Then COVID, other people had taken it for the next 3 years. COVID came. We had venue problems. Our church divided into East, West, and City. And the kids' work had really suffered. And I went, I'm 72, Sam. And he's like, that's all right. No worries. And so he said, there's no PA. You'll have to find your own PA. And I went, oh, wow. In a big church, okay. Not sure where to look. I'm not sure. But God gave me this scripture for my time in kids' church, and it was Proverbs 4, verse 8 and 9. He just said, Helen, embrace wisdom. It just says, exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace and a crown of glory she will deliver to you. So I'm like, God, I embrace wisdom. Many times I just did that physically. I'm not sure where to look, not sure what to do, not sure who to choose. But knowing it was important, I just put my arms around wisdom and brought wisdom close. Then one night I was up at about 2 a.m, praying, made a cup of tea, prayed, and then a name just dropped into my spirit. And I went, wow, I'm going to contact her because I know the voice of God. And if you're not used to the voice of God tonight, you're going to switch on to the voice of God. And God dropped Carolina's name, Marshall, into my spirit. So next day I private messaged her and just said, you know, would you like to be involved with kids, work alongside me? It came straight back and she said, Helen, a year ago, I said to my husband, I'd love to work with Helen. I don't know why, but I'd love to work with Helen, but I don't know how that's ever going to happen. And she is the most perfect person who's passionate, who's ready, but it was divine appointment. Yeah. So I didn't go, oh, who, panic. I went, brace wisdom. Yeah. I put my arms around wisdom. And she, wisdom, promoted me in a sense that now, after 18 months, we've seen the work double. We've seen like lots and lots of workers come in. There's enthusiasm, there's life, there's energy. And Carolina, but she did take time off to have a baby. So the 6 months, you know, Sam said, well, Mum, 6 months turned into 18 months. But I enjoyed it. And I want to encourage you, put your arms around wisdom. If you sit in the question, the answer will find you. And we've got to bring our thoughts before God. And I'm going to tell you another story. It's a nice story. And you'll say, oh, that's a little bit cute, Helen. That's all right. We do cute. Yeah. Bruce and I made four offers on apartments. We decided to downsize from a house, make life easy, and go into an apartment. We made offer on 4 apartments. Didn't make any of them. Nothing happened. We thought, well, we better sell our house first. And we did open homes for 5 weeks. Nothing happened. And we're like, oh my gosh, you know, the market wasn't moving. Then sometime later, quite a long time after, I went, God, what was that all about? Did we really get that so wrong? Then I heard the whisper of God, and this is the cute part. I heard the Spirit of God say to me, Helen, quite random, when the hydrangeas turn blue, you'll move. It's like, whoa. Where did that come from? But I know enough of the Spirit of God to go, well, it just brought a calm. It just brought a peace. And then like about 9 months later, an apartment came on that we loved better than the 4. We made an offer. We got accepted. And then we sold our house within a week. But on the 18th of November, I looked at my hydrangea bush. And I hadn't even, when God said it, thought about the seasons. So on the 18th of November, can we have the first picture up, thanks? There is my hydrangea bush looking incredibly green. 5 days before we moved. Okay, the next one is the day we move. Look, it's turning blue. You know, God can say the most random things, and I love to be so in tune with him that when he speaks, it just brings a wave of joy, and then he backs it up with what he's promised and what he's said. So that was a story to say, how good is God? Are you familiar with the voice of God? And do you know, when we talk about it as well, it is all well with God. In fact, God looks at the state of affairs. He's not happy about it. He feels grieved, but he's okay. He sits in the heavens and he laughs at the schemes of the enemy. Come on, nothing can overpower you without your permission. And God, nothing is too difficult for him. And we need to look to God and say, God is at peace. God is all good with us. God is all good with sorting out my affairs and working me through things and speaking into my life. And we're going to look at a biblical story of the Shunammite woman in 2 Kings chapter 4. And she was able to say, it is well. Even when she was facing a troubled situation, when she was facing heartbreak, actually something really, really hard. And, you know, this woman was very hospitable. And she was honourable to the man of God, Elisha, when he passed. She accommodated his visits with welcoming him, feeding him, listening to him, that then she wanted to take it another step further. 2 Kings, we start reading at verse 9. And she said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes us by regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall and let us put a bed for him there and a table and a chair and a lampstand. So it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there." She's digging a deeper channel. What channel does God want you to go a step further in tonight? And it happened one night or day that he came there and he turned into the upper room and he lay down there. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call this Shunammite woman." When he had called her, she stood before him and he said to him, he said to her, Say now to her, "Look, you've been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?" She answered, "I dwell among my own people. Like, I've got no needs. I'm okay. I've reached a place of contentment and settledness in my life." So he turned and he said to her servant, "What then is to be done for her?" And Gehazi answered, "Actually, she has no son and her husband is old." So he said, "Call her." When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, "About this time next year, you shall embrace a son." And she said, "No, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant." She couldn't cope with it. But the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her, the voice of that Lord. In that moment, she stood in the doorway of a new season. And I believe as a church, we stand in the doorway of a new season where God wants to speak prophetically, where God wants to resurrect dreams. She responded negatively, like, "Don't, my Lord, don't promise that," because he was speaking to the grave clothes where promises had died or desires had not been fulfilled. She had wanted a son. But as she stood in the doorway, it was a new season, and I believe it's a new season where God might want to speak something new into your life by the anointing, by the prophetic ministry of God, or maybe resurrect something that you've said, "Oh, it's okay. I've dealt with that. I've pushed it down. I'm too afraid to believe it." God's going to resurrect it, and he's going to speak into those areas tonight. And we just need to say, "God, here I am. I'm listening." The devil wants you to give up on your dreams, but a new season lies ahead. What could it be? What's the dream, the desire that you know is of God that has not yet been fulfilled, and that it's like a new season you stand in right now? We see for this woman, the promise was given, the promise was received, a beautiful baby arrived, but the promise came under threat. And the child who grew one day complained about pain in his head, and the father sent the child back to the mother. And we're going to read from verse 21. "And she went up, laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him and went out. Then she called to her husband," because the child actually died in her arms. "Then she called to her husband and said, 'Please send me one of the young men, one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and come back.' So he said, 'Why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath.' She said, 'It is well.' Then she saddled a donkey and said to her servant, 'Drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you.' So she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. So it was when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to his servant Gehazi, 'Look, the Shunammite woman, please run now to meet her and say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child?' She answered, 'It is well.'" She wanted to bypass any interruptions, any distractions, anything that would hinder her getting to the source of the one who had given her the promise. She only wanted to hear from the man of God who had delivered it. And he said, "Well, I'll send my servant." But she said, no, she was not going to go without the man of God. She went right to the source. And then we read in 32 to 37, "When Elisha came into the house, there was the child lying dead on his bed. He went and therefore shut the door behind the two of them and prayed to the Lord. And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. He returned and walked back and forth in the house and again went up and stretched himself out on him. Then the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, "Call the Shunammite woman." So he called her, and when she came into him, he said, "Pick up your son." So she went in, fell at his feet, bowed to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out. Once again, she was able to embrace her son. She was able to pick up the promise that had come under threat and to see it come alive again in her arms. What joy! What worship! And sometimes we're living too far separated from the promises of God. We're not pushing in. We're not going to the source of, "God, what did you say? God, this might say this. This might look hopeless. This might look dead. But what do you say?" And that's why God wants to fine-tune our ears and our spirit so we can hear what he's saying at any particular time. She said it as well. It wasn't really well. She was absolutely in agony. She was probably trembling. You know, when you're like trembling and anxious. But by faith, she regulated herself to the word that had been spoken. She held herself together until she got to the man of God. There was no time to wail and weep, but only to stay in faith in the promise. And that enabled her to say, "It is well with my soul," in spite of the anguish and the worry and the sadness within. This woman regulated herself. She kept the sound of faith louder than the pain of her circumstances and the present. Do you know God has said that to me on this trip? I'm a woman of faith. I love going after things by faith. I love listening to the Lord. But God said, "Helen, I want you to regulate something. Your concern over some individuals has got louder than your faith. And I want you to regulate your emotions and your concerns back to the word of God and to the prophetic promise that I have promised from the beginning of time." Come on, the noise of worry has got a wee bit louder in just this area. And it'll destroy function and purpose and future. So I'm talking tonight about regulations. Life is full of regulations. And one thing is we do have a speed limit on the road. And we downsized our house and we upsized our car. And I went for a trip from Auckland to Otaki. And it's a long trip. And Bruce said, "Watch your speed, because this one's got better pickup." And I'm like, "Yeah." And he said, "Use cruise control." Well, I didn't know how to use cruise control. He didn't give me the full message on how to actually use it. And I almost got to my destination, and I'd been watching my speed, and the next minute on the other side of the road was, and I'm like, "Oh, it's me," and it turned around and came behind me, and I got a speeding ticket. granny speeding. I also hit the curb too. Oopsie, no, huh? Those nice tires on this new car, and I must have been trying to park too close, and I was so sad when I went, you know, you couldn't go forward or back. But I have to regulate myself. If I'm truly repentant, I will regulate myself. I'll be like, I'll keep to the speed limit and I'll respect the curb, because the curb's not going to respect me and say, "Here comes Helen. I'll just, a little bend and she can fit in there." I have to regulate myself. So being repentant means we regulate ourselves. So regulation, you go, "Oh, I don't want to know about regulations. Is that about law and rules?" No, it's not. It's actually about function. It's how life works best. Regulations are operating instructions. How much pressure can an object take? And I'm sure some of you might not have read the tag on your clothing and you've washed something and you shrunk it, because it could not take the pressure of either the washing machine or the hot water it was washed in, particularly wool. So we've got to respect the regulations. They're there for our benefit so we can have the best use of what we have. Maybe vehicles. You don't put oil in your vehicle, what's going to happen? You're going to have a seized motor. We're regulating things all the time. If it's hot in here, we turn the air conditioning up. If it's cold in here, we pump the heat up. When we want to keep food fresh, we put it in the freezer. So we're regulating all the time. What about our well-being, our health? Are we regulating our care, our intake? You know, what treatment are we exposing our body and our mind to? There's a saying that, you know, whatever you do, and some people go like, I'll do what I like with my body in the first 40 years of my life. And then it says you spend the next 40 years, you know, trying to fix the damage you did in the 40 years previously because we didn't look after ourselves. We pay for the damage. But I want you to see tonight the whisper of heaven. Regulations are safeguards, but they're also a promise. For the future, it holds the promise for a future in God that's beyond what you could think, ask, or imagine. Now, we can put pressure on our appliances. I say to the grandkids, don't overload the washing machine. And they do it constantly. And what you get a noise with a washing machine, and I've got quite a creative imagination. I almost see the washing machine come, you know, starting to rock and roll and walk out towards me, and then you can hear the clutch struggling and snap. And on people, too much emotional, mental or physical pressure results in unraveling. And this is what we're seeing in the world. This is what we might be seeing in our families, venting, maybe in communities, destructive thinking and behavior. If we want to regulate ourselves so we can function the best, we need to direct our thoughts and prayers to God. The Bible is full of safeguards and promises and hope, not to restrict us, but we can live our best life. So don't think of God's word as something that's going to hold you back. It's actually going to cause you to blossom and to flourish and to fulfill what he has planned. The Bible is the manual we live by. We know King David in the Bible didn't regulate himself. He did some pretty dumb things in which we see him confess. In Psalm 51 and in Psalm 32, he's like, I'm dry. You know, where are you, God? I don't want to live without your presence. He was repentant. The effects of sin, us living carelessly, hurts a lot of people. Doesn't just hurt us, but it hurts the people that we love. And beyond that, sin hurts. And David's sin had hurt a family. It had hurt a marriage. It had hurt a whole nation, which gave a door for the enemy to get in. And he prays in Psalm 41, verse 5. He invited accountability into his life. Let the righteous strike me. It shall be a blessing, and let him rebuke me. It shall be as excellent oil. There's your oil. Come on, living by the regulations of God, living by the word of God alone. Come on, living by the satisfaction the word can bring to our lives. Let my head not refuse it. And I'm like, God, I'm always asking God questions. I'm happy for you to strike me. And Holy Spirit, if you want to strike me or rebuke me, what would you say? And for now, it's like, regulate. Come on, reduce the noise of anxiety. Reduce the noise of alarm. Reduce the noise of concern. In fact, don't even give it much airspace. Stay in faith. Don't be alarmed, as a Karakia platform says. Set the alarm. Set the alarm to pray. Then you will receive the word of God. The word of God that's unrestricted, unrestrained, powerful, and can change situations. David was under pressure, and he was expressing that there was too much intensity and too much pressure within. For some Christians, it is not well within. People are venting all over the place. We're alert to issues, which is good, but screaming and yelling doesn't solve anything. In fact, anger generates more anger. It just adds pressure to the situations rather than relieve them. You know, we get what we sow. Proverbs 10:19. Sometimes we need to zip it. Pray. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. And we heard about words, you know, making our words count this morning and keeping our words in faith and not in negativity. Christians can be running and panicking and, you know, but like that woman, we need to hold it. Go, I'm taking it. Yeah, I don't like what's happening, but I'm going to pour it out to God. I'm going to find the God solutions because I know they work. And I know that God will do something amazing as I trust him. To regulate yourself, find a calm working internally through a lifestyle of repentance. Repent, Acts 3:19 says, so that your sins will be forgiven and blotted out in times of refreshing. And I want to live, and I believe the oil is here. This is going to be a church that knows how to regulate. It knows how to turn themselves around. Knows how to, God, we're seeking you before we seek the answers from the world. We're looking to you so that the oil of healing will flow from this place and out. So regulate by internalizing the word of God. What is he saying? And make it your bread that you feed on within. So I'm just going to share some things that I had to regulate on my Christian journey early if I wanted to follow Jesus effectively. And the first one, God regulated me. Well, it's not the first one, really. There was a lot. God said a lot to me over the years. I've needed it, probably. And it was all about self-protection. Sometimes we just want to guard ourselves, like, don't want to embarrass myself, which, you know, we all embarrass ourselves. I want to keep it all safe. And God just gives me one-liners, and they pivot me just like that. He said to me, Helen, he uses my name because he's talking to me. Helen, if you protect yourself, I can't. You're in the way. And how many of us are in the way, and I'm not saying you are, but could be, in the way, and we're looking for everything else to protect us. And said, God said, I can do a better job than you can. But if you try and protect yourself, I can't. Because you're in the way. Maybe we can tear those things down and say, whatever, God, even if I do embarrass myself, you still love me. You've still got a plan for me and you still want to use me. Another one, and I've got lots, but is growth, about growth. Some of us just want privacy. And for me, as a self-conscious person, it's like, I want to deal with things on my own and I always want to be able to present perfectly. You know, like, I've got it together, I've dealt with it. And I want to do it in private. But I also like to humble myself privately so I don't have to be humbled publicly. But, you know, we don't have the luxury of transforming in private. We are called into a public arena, especially as leaders. The changes we make are visible and seen by others. It's like walking into a changing shed when you want to go swimming and there's no private cubicles. Do you get up and leave or do you change as quickly as you can and get out of there? And I think responsibility keeps us. The more you take responsibility, the more you grow. Because you don't retreat and go, well, I'm just going to work it out by myself and you won't probably see me for a while. But the Bible says that we are epistles read by all men. How will they see the transforming power of the Holy Spirit if we hide away, if we go missing in action? Come on, people are staring. You're not supposed to stare when people are changing, but people do stare, especially children. And we've got to get used to that. People are watching us. People are watching how you handle issues. People are watching your responses. Your children are watching you to see if what you say out here is what you live at home. We don't have the luxury as Christians of being private. We're wise, but we are an epistle to be read. And that was things I had to regulate. This is how it is. I just can't want it all nice and private and, you know, I want to always have it together. I've had to transform and people have seen me transform, go from an immature leader maybe to more mature, hopefully, these days. What do you need to regulate? We are an epistle and people are interested. We don't have to be perfect, but godly and humble in our responses. Do you know God's word has whispered in my ear constantly? I love it that I can walk with him, talk with him. When he speaks, I just know I've got it. Faith. Yeah. It brings me into unbelievable freedom, which leads me into unbelievable, and it's another sermon, fruitfulness, because it's beyond what I could even ask or expect. So tonight we're going to dig some deeper channels. I don't know about you, but do things roll over your email? You know, somehow you got on the mailing list. It's like, why do they think they want to send me Weight Watchers stuff? They've been listening to my conversation. And they roll over. But do you know you're also on the devil's mailing list? He's sending memos. You know, he wants you to join his club of fear, his club of anger, his club of doubt, his club of despair. He's saying, join me. And we need to say, I didn't subscribe to that. God, this is not your memo coming over, rolling over, and visible, and I'm clicking into it. And tonight we're going to take our finger and we're going to unsubscribe. We're going to say, devil, I'm not listening to you. I'm not joining your club. I'm not part of what you want to do. I'm not going to join in with that negativity. God, I want to trust you. And tonight I'm going to deal with some things. Maybe God wants us to break up with some things. Maybe sometimes we've broken up. Bruce broke up with me twice. Isn't that terrible? Before we got together and got engaged. And it's painful. But sometimes we are attached to the wrong things, not Bruce. And we just need to break up and say, tonight I'm breaking up. I'm breaking up with this constant thought of worry. I'm too closely associated with, you know, anxiety. Maybe rejection. I've got a relationship with rejection and I think rejection all the time. Break up with it. Yeah. Tonight you're going to say, I'm drawing a line and I'm breaking up with rejection. I'm breaking up with medication that maybe is not necessary. Alcohol. Approval. I need to break up with approval, needing to be approved, need to be patted on the back. Super sensitive to what others are saying. We've all been there. Bruce talked today about words. Make sure they're edifying. Do we need to break up with gossip? Oh, yes, I am a bit of a gossip. Do I need to break up with addiction? Not spend time with these things anymore. I'm going to regulate myself. I'm going to bring myself into the thoughts and the understanding and the wisdom of God. God, I want to hear your voice like never, never before. God's standing at the door. Come on, it's a new season. Church, it's a new season of getting up and letting the oil flow. To say, I'm different. God, I'm hearing you. I want to hear that fresh prophetic word. And God's digging out channels in our hearts so the river can flow. God wants to release prophetic promises. He wants to release courage to enter the land. We just need to submit to God. And maybe the musicians can come. Why do we need to submit to God? So we can function freely. And I love functioning freely. I like nothing between me and God. And I found this book I'd written 2 years ago. And I just entitled this page, God Gives, We Gather. God's giving all the time, we gather. And I was just encouraged finding this book. And it was when we were writing our books. And I'm like, how are we going to afford to pay for the publishing? You know, that's quite substantial. Without asking anyone, but just in prayer. As the book is called Things in My Head. There's always something in my head. There's always something by faith in my head. And so much has been answered. And there's the list of finances that came in from all around the world, amounting to $13,172.42. We can just be so blank, you know, not including God, running here and there, instead of saying, no, it's well with my soul. I'm taking it to God, I'm holding on. Naturally, sometimes we might spill over, but we're taking it to find our answers in God. And for those that also have answers in God. So why do we submit to God? To function freely, to influence greatly. When we were in Budapest, as Bruce said this morning, I just bless God. Bruce and I are just from Tihoro, which is a very small town. There used to be a petrol station there, which is not there anymore. There was a grocery store and that burnt down. There's nothing there. And God takes us to the centre of London to plant a church. Do you know we saw it as a beachhead? There are now 22 churches that have come out of that one church in London that was planted. Why? Because we've regulated ourselves. Why? We've stayed in faith. Why? We've rebuked the enemy and we've pushed him off. We have sensed when what's coming against us and say, no, it's well with our soul. We regulate ourselves into faith and we want to experience resurrection life. Seeing people prayed for, seeing people delivered, see people healed, see people filled with the Holy Spirit. For me, being filled with the Holy Spirit has unlocked my confidence to flow in God. So Jesus wants to set us free to function, to demonstrate his power so others can be free. Regulate yourselves according to the resurrection power of Christ. Don't you just love some of the songs that we sing? And I'm just going to quote a couple of them which really get me going. There's something about the resurrection power of God. Easter's coming. And we want the power of God. You know, Jesus didn't have to wait till the stone was rolled away before he rose. He just came on through. And we can come on through. And here's some words. Dead men come out of those graves when we praise. Captives let go of those chains when we sing. Why do you want to hold on to the chains? You've been set free. You're not a captive anymore. Let go of those chains. Don't stay in the grave. Here's another one. If you walked out of the grave, I sing this, I'm walking too. God, if you walked, Jesus, you walked out of that grave, I'm walking too. If you walked out of the grave, I'm walking too. When I hear that trumpet sound, I'm going to rise up out of the ground. There is no grave that's going to hold my body down. I think you're getting the picture. It is well with my soul. Or is it well? We're going to accommodate his visit. Maybe you can stand with me. Jesus is standing at the doorway of your life. He's got promises for you. He wants to resurrect maybe some things that have died and you don't want to know about them anymore. Maybe, you know, some things might need to lie. But there are other things that God said, no, this is the season. This is a new season. It's a season of breakthrough. It's a season of breakthrough for you, honey, with the girl with the glasses. That this is a time God's coming to renew your faith, to renew your mind, and to refresh your spirit. That you're entering into a time that you're going, I can't believe it's going to be so good. It's like swimming in the lake, in a sense. We've seen lots of lakes lately, in the purposes of God. You're going to say, I've got room. There's been a season where you felt like you're cramped. You've had cramp. But God says, I'm releasing you, my daughter, right now to dream, to believe, to thrive in the atmospheres you find yourself, that you have authority in the name of Jesus. Tonight, just put up your hand, honey, and say, I'm taking hold of all that you have for me, Jesus. I regulate my emotions. I pull them into line in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this message recorded live at Equipus Church Dunedin. We pray that it blessed you. For more information, please check out equipuschurch.com.